no matter how long that you are a preacher or pastor, you never stop getting nervous, if I could use that word, anxious, whatever, when you're about to preach the Word of God. I realize that there are many of you that are standing between life and death in this congregation. And what I mean by that is you're facing something that you don't know how you're going to get through it, and it may be the deciding factor in your spiritual life. And so therefore, when you come through those doors and sit in here, you deserve to be able to hear a man that has prayed and studied and prepared and gotten ready to feed the flock. And so I always try and take that into consideration, and I want to be obedient to the Lord. And so I will be preaching from verse number 18 this morning. But before I start preaching, I wanted to say this. I wanted to plug our YouTube. I saw a few phones out while the singing's going on. I like that. I'm for that. You're good. I'm not. But I want to plug our YouTube channel. Gateway, just go Gateway Baptist Church, search it on YouTube, and you can find it, and you can find full-length services. Really, they cut on app just past our announcements, and then after the announcements, it goes into, of course, our choir singing the regular service. But if you want to listen to this again, like you particularly enjoyed a song or something like that, we have it in excellent quality. Brother Luke does a good job of getting those posted. And he's my son, but I call him Brother Luke. He does a great job of getting those posted and also balancing the audio. That's a task. I don't know if you've ever recorded something and then you get home and you know it sounds perfect when you're recording it, and then you get home and you listen to it and you're like, oh, I ain't posting that. Oh, that ain't never happened to y'all? Okay, well, this happened to me. And so check that out. Check out our YouTube page. And usually there's a link posted on the church Facebook page going to that, so you can look on the church Facebook page and go directly to that. But that would be a help to us, to your church, to build the ministry there of outreach. And so check us out on YouTube. And all the services are on there Sunday morning and Sunday night. I'm not sure if Wednesdays are always on there. No? Okay. But we do. Do we record all services? No? Okay. So be here on Wednesday night to hear the Wednesday night message. Amen? John chapter number 1 and verse number 18. The Bible says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Just that one verse. I want to read it again. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Heavenly Father, I need you. Lord, I need you to remind me of what I've studied and what I've read and how that I've tried to prepare, how I've tried to prepare my heart to preach to your people. I realize, Lord, there are people with real problems, with real issues, living a real life. And I thank you, Lord, that you are a real God and that you're able to meet their real needs. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help me as I preach. Give me power from on high. Use me, Lord, as a mouthpiece for you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Verse 18 describes the grace and truth that came by Jesus Christ, is mentioned in verse number 17. Now, I preached from these verses last week, and I had plans last week to go ahead and go into verse number 18, but did not feel comfortable on, believe it was Sunday evening, continuing on into verse number 18. And so the Lord allowed me to preach 16 and 17 last Sunday, and then this Sunday getting to preach verse number 18. But because I am a human being, when I think of grace and truth, as mentioned in verse number 17, I am immediately self-centered. What I mean by that is I believe that the grace and the truth that Jesus brought was me, or about me, or for me. And I'm just going to let you know that if you're like me and you think that too, you and I both have missed the mark of what the explanation of grace and truth is. When I think of grace, I think of God's wonderful, loving, amazing grace that He has bestowed to me. And thank God for that, and thank God for grace. And that was our theme this morning as we were in the men's fellowship. We had a great time with that. Brother David brought a great devotion on grace for grace. And we need grace, absolutely. And God's grace is extended to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. But that was not the grace that Jesus is showing that's mentioned here in verse number 18. And the truth, I often apply it to the truth of salvation in my life, and it is the truth of salvation that saves us, but that is not the truth that came solely at this moment that John is talking about by Jesus Christ. It was ushered in by Jesus Christ, but not until later when Jesus gave His life for our sin. I promise you, some of you looking at me like a calf staring at a new gate. I promise you we're going to get through this and y'all going to be all right. But you're liable to realize this morning that you and I are not the centerpiece of Scripture. Christ is. The Lord God is. Amen. And it is about Him. It's not... The Bible was not written just solely for our pleasure and for us to get what we needed and then leave. That's the problem that we have. We view the Bible as it's something that I can get a little bit of, get just enough to get into heaven, do the rest of my life the way I want to, and not have to worry about giving God any glory. That's the problem right now that we have in the American church, amen? And it's even in Gateway too. Friend of mine, the centerpiece of Scripture is the Lord Jesus Christ. The objective of Scripture is to glorify God, amen? And so when we read about grace and truth coming by Jesus Christ, we're reading about Jesus glorifying God in His revelation of God to humanity. We are not just reading about us. Do you see why I chose to go just verse number 18 for one Sunday morning service? Jesus is the revelation of God to the world. If you've ever wondered what God thinks about things, read what Jesus talked about. If you've ever wondered what and how the Lord God views forgiveness, just read what Jesus taught about forgiveness. If you want to know God's thoughts about mankind, read what Jesus and study what Jesus preached about men, women, boys, and girls. Look at His compassion. Look at His ability. Look at His healing powers. If you want to see God revealed, study Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God. In the Old Testament times, Old Testament times, God granted people visions, visible manifestations that were not just visions inside their head. He gave them angelic visits, but all of these fell short of actually seeing God for who He was and who He is. Men like Abraham and Jacob, Moses, Joshua, and even Manoah, the father of Samson, Daniel, Isaiah, and Ezekiel, they had manifestations of God given to them. They saw in instances the glory of the Lord. They saw the angel of the Lord. They saw or they heard the word of the Lord come to them, to those patriarchs and those prophets of old, but none of them saw God for God. This is why in John chapter number 8, and maybe in a few months we will get there, this is why in John chapter number 8, Jesus is disputing with the Pharisees and talking with the scholars of that day, and he says to them, "You're of your father the devil." And they say, "Oh no, we're of Abraham." And he says to them, "If you were of Abraham, you would know me." And Abraham, this is what he tells them in John chapter number 8, I believe it's in verses 56, 57, and 58. He tells them, "If you were of Abraham, you would have seen me. Abraham rejoiced to see me." And they said, "Oh, you ain't even 50 years old, and you say that you saw Abraham." And Jesus looked them square in the eye, and he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Amen. This is the reason for that. The Word of God was in the beginning with God, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so, verse number 18, describing that grace and that truth, verse number 18 is telling us, hey, all these guys wanted to see Him, and we didn't get to see Him. And verse number 18 comes along, and John the Apostle is saying, no man has seen God at any time. Before I go into this, I feel like I need to talk a little bit about the manifestations that happened in the Old Testament times. Now, we know, thank God for, I read their names just a moment ago, but you think about Abraham. Now, we often go to Genesis 22, I believe it is, where Abraham and Isaac are up on the mountain. We see the type and the picture of the sacrifice being provided. But y'all remember the story where Abraham was sitting in his tent door and he looked out across the horizon and yonder come three men walking down. I believe that might be in Genesis 18 or somewhere around there, maybe 20, here's the tagline in that story that we often remember. Sarah laughed within herself, and the angel of the Lord called her on it. Y'all remember that? That was a manifestation of God. You go past Abraham and you find Jacob, and Jacob dreamed that night and he saw the ladder and angels ascending and descending and going up and down in the earth. Jacob wrestled with God, the Bible says, all night long in Genesis 32. And for the rest of Jacob's life, Jacob got changed from Jacob the supplanter to Israel, prince with God. And the Bible says that he halted upon his leg for the rest of his life. So you could look out across the horizon and all the men that were walking, that were with Jacob, you could pick Jacob out, because Jacob is the one, after he spent a night alone with God, he had a limp the rest of his life. You could say, yeah, you get around the Lord, He'll make you different. Amen? And so he had that little limp, and he also got his name changed from being a supplanter, a trickster, a jokester, to being a prince with God. That happened for Jacob. Then old Moses was out there on the backside of the desert long before he was ever used to lead the Hebrew children out of Egypt's bondage. Matter of fact, in the calling of him to do that, and a bush caught on fire right next to him, and the Bible says, "I will now turn aside and see this thing that's going on over here." I don't know about you, but if I'm standing in the middle of the wilderness and a bush spontaneously combusts, amen? Because that's what happened. When that thing catches fire, I don't know exactly how I'm going to do, but I'm not exactly going to be exactly thrilled about what I'm seeing here, y'all. There was something burning, and I couldn't explain it. I ain't got no buckets, and ain't no water around for me to put it out. And then I hear a voice say, "Hey, take off your shoes, because the ground you're standing on is holy." This is a manifestation of God. You fast forward in Moses' life. After all that he had been through with the Egyptians, or going through, coming out of Egypt and with the Israelites, and there comes a point where Moses tells God, he says, "Lord, I want to see you. I want to see your glory." And God says, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to pass by where you're at, and when I pass by, you're going to be able to look out and see just my hinder parts." Now, he got to see just the hinder part of God, but he didn't get to see God in His full glory and fully illuminated as to all He is. Are y'all this making sense for you? Because remember, Jesus Christ is the revelation, the illumination, the full revelation of the glory of God, and it came in grace and truth. All of these Old Testament prophets, they wanted to see it. Joshua was there by himself as Moses was up on. He heard the thunders. He saw God move, and he understood that God was moving. Manoah, when Samson's father, we just read it a few weeks ago in the book of Judges, and Manoah's wife seen the angel of the Lord and told her husband about it. And he said, oh, I want to see this too. And so he went down there, and the angel come back to him or come back to her, and he went down there and talked with her. And at that time, Samson's story was told before Samson came into the world. That was a manifestation of God, but it was not God in his entirety. I don't believe we could fully understand God in his entirety if he fully revealed himself to us. We pray for the glory of God. But I think a lot of times what we want is for self-glory. Lord, I want to see your glory so long as I sound good while I'm singing. Lord, it sure would be nice if you'd let heaven fall this morning while I'm up there preaching so that I can get all them extra pats on the back. All them attaboys. Woo, I sure did preach a good message, didn't I? Yeah, you did. Y'all have never been there, but I have. Pride go up before destruction, a haughty spirit before fall. And so we have all of these that through the Old Testament that prayed and asked God to see His glory. I would say out of these that I named, Daniel was probably the most humble man. And Daniel prayed before God. And because of that, Daniel and Daniel's friends were delivered both out of the fiery furnace and out of the den of lions. And Daniel was exalted in the Babylonian kingdom. Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord in Isaiah chapter number 6. And he saw God set it up there on his throne, and he described him saying that he had a train that filled the whole room that he was in. What an incredible sight. And Ezekiel again and again and again heard the word of God, and it did not make Ezekiel a great man around. It made Ezekiel a crazy man to the other people. Sometimes being obedient to God may make you appear crazy. All of these desired to see what John the Apostle is describing. The glory of the Lord revealed in one man. Grace and truth. This grace and truth is that Jesus is the knowledge and the acquaintance of God for man. That is grace and truth. It is graceful on God's part that He even revealed Himself to man. Do you understand that He did not have to do that? God did not have to come. God did not have to send His only begotten Son. There is no requirements for our sovereign God to have to do this. Now, in order for us to be saved, He developed the plan, He executed the plan, and He perfected the plan. Amen? And it is finished, thank God, and finished through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And so when we come to this verse, John has repeatedly emphasized the deity of Christ with Jesus' human nature. And he says the words, no man has seen God at any time. Now, we believe that Jesus is God, so how can John make this statement? John recognized something about Jesus that unfortunately many today don't recognize. And that is that Jesus is God. And when He came to earth, He deliberately laid aside the attributes of God, of deity. If He had not, then it would have made Him unapproachable. Had Jesus came in all of God's glory and in all of God's power and in all of God's ability, you and I would not have been able to approach Him. How do I know that? Well, let me give you this. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verses 14 through 16, the Bible says, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in His times He shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. God, as a spirit, dwells in light unapproachable. And He knew this of Himself, and to make Himself approachable, He sent His only begotten Son, full of grace and truth, to be approachable. They beheld His glory, and they looked at a regular man that was all God. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how it must have been when the first time that He found Mary Magdalene and He called her by her name? The warmth that filled her soul, filled her heart, that changed her life to know that this man came to her, came to where she was. The Bible records that He cast 7 devils out of her. What an incredible thing to know. And it was not because she had power or she had influence or she had done anything good. It was because God was being glorified in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when John says that no man has seen God at any time, he's saying we ain't seen Him in the full reality of who God is. What little time that I spent in Bible college, I was in there, I was taking a course, and I remember there were 14 words that were used to describe the deity of the Lord. His 14 different words. We as human beings, scholars, need 14 words. Double perfection if you look at it from a numerology standpoint. We needed 14 words to describe how perfect and how righteous and how great God is. What makes us think that we can shake our fist in His face? What makes us think that we can bring Him to our level? Pride? Self-centeredness? A few years ago, there was a pop song that come out, said, "What if God was one of us?" I thank God He's not one of us. Every saint's got a past, and every sinner's got a future. Just come on back down off of your high horse. Ride with me a little while. God is not us. God is not like one of us. God is not judgmental. God does not have preconceived notions about how somebody's going to act. God doesn't just assume that somebody's going to do us wrong. Y'all okay? He is not one of us. And thank God that He's not. How many times would you have been done with somebody because they offended you or they hurt you or they did something with you? How many times have you killed someone behind their back with your tongue and then think, have the audacity to think that God is like you? Oh, He is so much greater, so much higher, so much better. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. He is so much greater, so much higher, so much better, so much more sufficient than you and I will ever be or ever aspire to be. We cannot handle God in all of His glory, in all of who He is. John recognized that he deliberately laid aside the attributes of deity that would not fit with true humanity. If Jesus had come into the world not only to be God, but also to behave as God, nobody would have been able to get to Him. But He didn't just behave as God, He behaved as a human. Let me say this, the compassionate part of humanity, if there is any. I'm just fool enough to believe that Jesus knew when somebody needed a hug. The Bible records that John the Beloved was laying on his bosom. Is that a weird thing? I don't think so. I believe we had a love there that was so incredibly strong and demonstrated by God. This man was their leader, their pastor. Can I say it like that? Yeah. Guys, I love you, but I don't want you hugging all over me. Ladies, I love you, but I don't want you hugging all over me either. You can hug me anytime you want to. Funny thing is, guys, when you get married, they don't always want to hug, just so y'all know. Y'all better amen me on that. You better listen to your preacher. That's a hard lesson to learn. Let me hush. Did I get myself in trouble with something about this last Sunday? The deity of God, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, showed in how much He was God and how much He was man, almost unexplainable. And although He never ceased to be God, He walked this earth as though He were not more than human. You look at the cross, He laid down His life. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, at Thy will, I'll go and I'll drink of this cup." And He drank from that bitter cup. And He died there on the cross. And to some of those people that were standing around that day, He was just another man. But He wasn't worthy of death. To the thief on one cross, He said, "Hey, this guy's done nothing wrong and he's up here with us. We're thieves. We're robbers." He'd done nothing but preach the truth. Love them. Care for them. But they didn't like Him because He violated their laws. It is difficult to describe the difference between God's deity, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, deity, and His humanity. And they cannot be separated. You must believe that He was so much God and yet so much man. Now the verse goes on just a little bit. It says, "The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." Now this verse really seems to not fit, and I mentioned this last Sunday night with the other verses that are here, but this little part kind of brings it into us and brings it in full circle, because "which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." So you do have to do some studying and really kind of dig into this, and I hope that I'm giving you something, but the Greek word for the word "declared" that is used. Now remember, we've said this before, the book of John, it's in the New Testament. It is written in the Greek language, translated out of the Greek language, of course, into the English language, and thank God for that. But in the Greek, going back to the Greek, there is a word there for the word that we know is declared, and that is exegemai, is where we get our word exegesis, which, if you don't know what that means, it simply means to make known by expounding. It's what I'm doing this morning. Simply put, it's what I'm attempting to do this morning. Now, whether or not it makes sense, I'll leave that up to the Spirit of God. The person who expounds or exegetes the Scriptures bring out things that were there all the time for people to see, but they had been overlooked until they were brought out. You ever read the Bible and you get it, you read it, you have an understanding, and then you go and hear perhaps one of the best expositors that I know is Dr. Mike Bagwell. And man, what a Bible expositor, what a knowledge. And there are other men that have written that also exposit the Word of Truth, and thank God for them. And I'm not trying to brag on Dr. Bagwell, but man, I have sat under his preaching. I remember one time in particular, he preached a message and he used the word constraineth. The love of Christ constraineth us. And he preached for 45 minutes on the word constraineth. Like, man, where do you get all that? Study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so there are things that we can see that maybe someone else can bring out for us, or a commentator, a commentary could bring out for us. Jesus is the incarnate exegesis of God. He has brought forth God and set Him before us fully and accurately. Studying Jesus is much more than just getting acquainted with a historical figure. It is the revelation of God in one man. Jesus expounded Him in what He is and what He has said and what He has done. For although Jesus was a man in every sense of the word, He was also God in all the dimensions of deity. In Matthew chapter number 4, we read of the time where Jesus was tempted in the wilderness after 40 days. He had been fasting and he was out there in the wilderness, and so he is tempted of the devil, and the devil tempts him in various ways. And each time that the devil tempted him, the Lord would go back and say, "It is written." He would go back to Scripture. Why? Because He is Scripture. He would carry him back to the written Word, the established Word of God. And in case you have forgotten this morning, Psalm 119, verse number 8, "And I still in the Word of God forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." Chop it, dice it, abuse it, burn it, do whatever you think you can to it. But the original copy is in glory, seated next to the right hand of the Father. Heard a story just last night. Myself and Molly, we were flipping through social media and we were looking at videos and just kind of enjoying some of those and some funny little things. And one of them come up, and it was a woman who was an atheist. And she said, "I bought a Bible off of Amazon a few years ago." And you remember watching this with me, reading it last night. And she said, "I bought this Bible off of Amazon. I read through the Old Testament." And she said, "I thought, who in their right mind could believe all of this stuff? Who would think that this was true?" And she said, "Just to get it in myself, I went to a church service." She didn't say what kind of church or anything. She said, "Man, I got out there and I got in the church, and after sitting in the church service," she said, "I just thought even more, man, these people are crazy. How could they believe that?" And said that she was leaving the church and she had something in her hands, and she took her Bible and laid it up on top of her car, and she laid that Bible up there and got in her car and took off down the road. And she said, "I was laughing on the way home because I thought, man, this is just further proof that this is just a bunch of malarkey. It's just a bunch of craziness. This is not there's nothing to this." And she said, I drove all the way home, 25 miles at 55 plus mile per hour. And she said, "When I got home, I was laughing to myself. And I got out of my car, I looked up on the top of the car, and there laid that Bible." She said, "God just used that to solidify that He's real." She said, "I thought in that instance, maybe I need to take a closer look at this." And I thought, "Yeah, honey, read the New Testament. If you thought the Old Testament was crazy, just wait till you read about what Jesus did." She went on to tell about how her life was changed through the Word of God. The one who exegetes God is the one who John says is in the bosom of the Father. And that phrase, the bosom of the Father, it means that He has His being in. It describes the timeless state, the eternal condition of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. It refers to a condition of full intimacy with the Father. That, you know, there are things that my children know and understand about me that you guys will never have that knowledge of. And same inside your home too. There are things about your dad that you may know, and unfortunately men have failed and have given God a tarnished, or given people a tarnished view of what a father should be and what a father is supposed to be. So dads, we really got to man up. We got to game up. We got to level up on our searching the Scriptures. We got to get to know Jesus better. We're leading people through a place that will impact where they spend eternity. Dad, you got an important job. You got something serious on your plate. It gives full intimacy with the Father. It speaks of the boundless love. It speaks of the fathomless affection between the Father and the Son. It describes their mutual love in the eternal Godhead, and it affirms that this relationship continued unbroken even through the incarnated Word of God. He never lost communion with the Father until the day of the cross, when He took our sins. It tells us that the revelation of God that Jesus came to exegete was a revelation of the heart of God. There was an old song that says, if you want to see God's beauty, just look at all He's made. It's reflected in each flower and all of nature's arrayed. The beauty of God is everywhere, your eyes can see. But if you want to see the heart of God, look to Calvary. You want to see God's heart for His people? Look at the price He paid. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Thank God that Jesus declared God to you and I. Lord, You know. You know the hearts and the lives of this place. You know Your Word. You are Your Word. And my frail attempt to preach Your Word. God, I pray that You would help Your people. I pray that the Scriptures would be magnified in Your people. I pray, Lord, that if there be someone here that does not know You in the free pardon of sin, or that they would come to Your saving knowledge today, and they would be born again. They would see You, Lord, for who You are and what You gave through Your Savior, Christ, the Anointed One, the Lord Jesus. They would understand in their heart, Lord, their need of salvation through and by Him. And Lord, today they would put their faith and their trust in You, unto the saving of their soul. Lord, would You have Your will and Your way? In Jesus' holy name I pray.